When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. How can Washington Republicans and Democrats bridge political divides? There's only about a dozen members of the GOP in Washington State. So pretty easy, right?
You can have them all at one dinner. Yeah, pick up the check.
Hey, why don't we all go down to a Bannigan's and have ourselves a good time? Protesters set up an encampment at UW campus. This whole thing is just devolving into just absurdity, I think. I think a good place to start is somebody asked us about the Biden-Stern appearance that happened the other day, last week. It was fairly boring. It wasn't very interesting. It wasn't revelatory in any way, shape, or form. Newsmaking, I don't think so. I've seen better interviews, like when Mark Maron interviewed Barack Obama, even though Mark Maron was giving kind of a softball interview. At least I was hearing things from Obama that I hadn't heard before. Joe Biden is not a good politician in the sense that he doesn't have the riz. He's not very charismatic.
He never had the riz.
No,
a couple failed presidential runs before the successful one.
So how can Washington Republicans and Democrats try to bridge political divide? It's a great piece written up by Nina Shapiro about a group of people who got together. Some of them are Republicans, some of them are Democrats.
Yeah.
Wanted to find some common ground, get outside of their liberal bubble, their conservative bubble, and talk to other people. And what they found is that what they share in their lives is much more similar and much more meaningful than politics or government. Because politics and government is really just about philosophy. And it's not necessarily indicative as to the character or the manner in which somebody lives their life. I have very good friends of mine that are deeply religious people who are very conservative people, mm-hmm. and they are objectively some of the best people I've ever met in my life. I know queer leftists who walk around with blue hair, who have Stalin posters or whatever it is, and they are objectively some of the best people I've ever met in my life. I don't really care how they feel about government or politics. And I think the second that people realize that, how it's such a tertiary aspect of who we are as people, that's how people can have real discussions around politics.
I think this is called the Building Bridges Project.
Yes.
The ladies who got together and reached out and tried to find somebody of different political beliefs to see what is it about my side that drives you crazy? Why can't we find any kind of common ground? And when we stop talking about how bad the other side is and just, like you said, what's important to us,
we
got a lot more in common than we thought we did.
I've thought about this a lot. And I think that one of the things that I think Democrats could do really well is to start admitting when there are things that are apparent to everybody. Joe Biden is old, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And I think it would really behoove people to stop trying to cover that up or to act like that's not a big deal because it's insulting to people. Like Joe Biden, we all understand that Joe Biden's administration are the people who's doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I've said that many times.
Right.
I'm with you.
And I think that's fair. And I also think that what conservatives need to do is they need to really get off the gay trans thing and they really need to get off the abortion thing. Not from the standpoint of they need to stop being pro-life. You can be pro-life like how I'm pro-life. But what you got to stop doing is this like insane draconian abortion restrictions. Because it's a violation of people's medical privacy. I say that as a pro-life person. There are things that people need to drop and acknowledge, but that requires a deflation of one's ego, and that's very, very hard to do, especially when people get really hung up on, gay marriage is the it is insult to my marriage, which is a covenant before God, or whatever it might be, right?
Right. Like,
or then simultaneously, I think what liberals need to work on is this idea that, if we get rid of dominance hierarchies, then we're going to have equality of outcome. That's insanity. There is no world in which that exists.
Right.
Does that make sense, Mike?
I've been listening to you for a while, so I'm already there with you.
Right.
We want equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome.
Right, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. Can we get here without a misinformation industry? Because when I watch the news I like to watch, I hear things. I'm like, wait a minute, even I don't believe that. And I'm pretty dyed in the wool.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And when I say I try to watch the other side of the aisle, I find things that, wait a minute, that's just flat out not true. That's just flat out misrepresentation of what you're saying. So, I mean, we have to get better trusted news sources, or at least more, yeah, better trusted news sources. Well, no way to soften that up.
People have to care more about the news that they take in. Like, for this is my favorite most recent example was the whole cheeseburger debacle. How people were talking about $16 McDonald's under Joe Biden, right? Right? People were, that was their indicator of a bad economy. I don't care if McDonald's jacks up their prices. What I care about is the overall global price of beef, right?
Like, yes. Right? Thank you.
So
yes.
When people do this thing where they were basically were being memed to death, where people are fixated on quick hits of what it means to talk about politics or economics or whatever it might be. They're just memeing so hard that they have no idea how to actually talk about these in a difficult or complex way, or even in a kind way. People don't know how to be nice to each other anymore when talking about politics. Yep. I'll give you guys a really quick example. Last Friday, we're having Frank on the show, and Frank and I are having a spirited debate about the kids on the college campuses. Frank says, well, don't the Jewish kids on campus have a right to feel safe and feel like they're not going to get harassed on campus? That is a fair point. That is a fair question. To concede that improves the argument. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do. I know exactly what you mean.
To give it away improves the discourse. It doesn't make an argument any better to hold fast into however anybody feels about anything, which is why I think so many people are so kind of sick with Donald Trumpism, right? They're so obsessed with being right to the point where they'll lie for Donald Trump.
Are you encouraged by the fact that give you a couple of examples. That Dave Reichert was saying to the Republican committees or the convention over in Spokane, you guys are, I can't go there with you. I can't go to the election denialism with you. You guys have lost your way. You're not the Republican Party I want to represent. I don't want your endorsement. And at the same time, you got guys like Bob Ferguson saying, we need more policing. We need more accountability. The stuff that the left has been doing where victims are getting less rights than criminals, it seems, the mad swing to the tolerance pool. Both of those guys kind of went back to the middle. And of course, it's just trying to maybe garner votes in the middle, but at least they're reaching to a more sensible centrist point of view.
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's reasonable. I think the other thing, though, is that when people begin to identify with a political philosophy and it becomes a core part of the way that they feel about themselves and their country, that's a very serious issue.
Uh-huh.
Because if my identity is tied to a political party in the same way it's tied to a sports team, then you're going to get sports team politics. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of people who do local media here, or they do conservative media or liberal media or whatever it is, and they are objectively bad at their job because they're not actually discussing the issues as much as they're being salesmen. They're trying to, you know what I mean?
My side could do no wrong. Root for the home team.
Not only that, but I am selling people on the idea that their political philosophy is valid. And in that way, what they're actually doing is just reinforcing biases. And then people end up with this idea that they can't listen to anybody else because everybody else is lying and everybody else is a bad actor.
And a threat to democracy.
You know how many bad faith accusations I get all the time on a regular basis?
I can only fathom.
Jack, you're so bad faith. You're only doing this for money, which is totally true. I get paid as much as a doctor does to do my job.
Doesn't mean you don't mean what you're
doesn't
saying.
Doesn't mean that I don't
Come
mean
on.
What I say. You know what I mean? Like,
thank you.
What I think is so weird about this is people, like, you know, they'll attack character or whatever it is. Like, I'll give you guys a really contemporary example between me and Ari Hoffman. I was critical of Ari Hoffman covering those protesters who were very upset about that young woman who was struck by that police officer. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Ari put out something that was, in my opinion, was incorrect, in which he was basically saying that these people were grifters and they were using that young woman's...
The tragic death of the kid by the car, to
push an agenda.
Right.
And what I basically said was, I don't know any of those kids. I'm not going to make those accusations. I think that's fairly gross. What Ari chose to do was to take that clip, put it on his Twitter page, and then make fun of our ratings. He didn't address our argument. He decided to make fun of our ratings as if I care about the ratings of this show. That is a perfect example of how discourse breaks down. Where when you can't even confront someone saying, I disagree with your argument that you do character assassination over something which is as trivial as ratings, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you have to think about it in that way where we don't even know how to talk about the issues anymore. It's character accusations, character aspersions, assaulting the way that somebody is, whether it's at their physical appearance or whatever it might be, right?
Right.
Now, since then, Ari and I have become very good friends, and he still owes me a beer, by the way, which we'll get, I'm sure we'll get around to one of these days. But that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, I disagree with a lot of the stuff that John Curley says. Objectively disagree with it. I love John Curley.
Screw
Why?
Yourself.
Hi, John.
Go screw yourself.
The reason that I love John is because John and I can have 90-minute, 120-minute conversations on the phone in which we have good faith conversations about the stuff that we disagree on. John never assaults my character. Well, I mean, not often does he assault my character.
But he respects you, who you are, with
That's
a different point of view.
That's what I'm saying, man. And so I think that when you can respect the people that you're talking to on a very deep human level, that's how you're going to navigate this. We went kind of long on that, but that's the way I feel about it. Protesters have set up an encampment on the University of Washington campus. James Lynch is out there. He's trying to get the skinny. This has been going on across the country because of George Soros' money. Trying to tear this country apart, that leftist. He really hates this. George Soros clearly hates this country.
Yeah, but there's some basis in fact in that George Soros donates to a lot of different causes. One of those causes has taken up the putting the tents on the field, I guess, is in some of the instances we're talking about some of these protests. I think it was the Columbia protest in particular that Soros was, they could root back to the funding. These kids have a right to free speech. These kids have a right to put their political point of view out. I wish they were better informed on the topics at hand. Oftentimes they are defending positions, if they did an investigation, would seem indefensible.
I think that they're doing, I've listened to a lot of pro-Palestinian, I've listened to their arguments. They're fine arguments. Right. They're not bad arguments. I think the issue is that there's a lot of apologia that's occurring with a terrorist group.
Yes, absolutely.
And so they
yes.
cannot separate Hamas from the Palestinian people.
Yeah, agreed.
And so what they say is that Hamas is a natural consequence of living under the oppression of a fascist Israeli government. And, in order to really tease apart that argument, you have to accept it on good faith, right? You have to really listen to it and take it in and think about what they're actually talking about as opposed to getting defensive about it.
So who's handling it better, do you think, today? In Austin, Texas, where the safety patrol or the security safety police are zip tying and hauling people off by force again today, as they were last week, or over at Columbia, where when the student protesters decided not to respect the 2 o'clock Eastern deadline, they're getting suspended. They're getting suspended from school. They're not being allowed to take their finals, not allowed to turn in their final projects and get their final grades. The kids at Columbia, they've got skin in the game. They're making a sacrifice for their cause. Who's handling it better? Dragging them out of the court, out of the quad? Maybe I'm a little prejudiced to my question.
Okay. So I said this to Frank, but I'll say it again because I read a lot. But if you read Rules for Radicals, it was written by Saul Alinsky in 1968. Basically, what he was saying is that the goal of a protest is to incur state violence, so that you are the recipient of state violence, so that when that media gets sent out to the masses, people see you being abused, and thus they are more likely to be sympathetic to your leftist cause. Alinsky was a leftist. And so he was looking at Mahatma Gandhi's use of nonviolent protest in South Africa and MLK's use of nonviolent protest. And so he was basically saying, now do that, but make sure there's cameras and make sure there's a lot of media coverage.
Don't give up till the hoses are turned on you or the guard dogs are set loose.
So this might not be emotionally resonant for your average boomer, maybe your average, Gen Xer. They think to themselves, man, these kids getting arrested, they're fine with it. But to a bunch of Zoomers and young millennials, when you see police officers with no badge on display in full riot gear, picking up a 120-pound soaking wet,
sophomore,
and throwing her across. I mean, that's a piece of footage. You can see this little girl, she's getting thrown about 3 feet, which I don't know if anybody's ever fallen 3 feet without having your arms to stop your fall. It's pretty painful. That's all anybody needs to tip them over the edge into being a radical. So you can say, great, I love the fact that those kids are getting kicked off the campus for the short-term optic of it, for the aesthetic of it. You can go, great, man, we love Greg Abbott, get those leftists out of here. But you have to think about the ripple effect of that, which is going to be spread outwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all over Instagram, all over Facebook. Laura, you're a liberal. How many of these kids have you seen being abused on your social media feeds?
Being abused?
Thrown around, zip-tied, pushed around.
Oh, I don't know if anyone I follow has been posting anything.
You could lie, Laura. You could lie. You could say a lot. It doesn't matter.
Well, it's kind of stupid if you're protesting to live stream it. I think that's why a lot of them are wearing masks.
Right. Good point. But my point about this is that you see all these images going out and you're just going to. This is why I firmly believe that you're going to have a socialist revolution in the United States in probably the next 20 years, because people, specifically young people, do not resonate well with these kinds of images. I mean, look at the backlash that happened after Kent State, right?
Yes.
Look at how many people all of a sudden started showing up to DSA meetings. They started registering. You know what I mean? Like, yes. This is a really big issue when it comes to state violence. And I think that if you feel as if law and order should be a thing, I totally agree with you. I personally don't really care if there's a bunch of kids in tents in a quad. Is it really that offensive? Not really. Am I an insane person?
No, I think you're right there. But there have been instances where Jewish students are being harassed. And that's a bridge too far.
That's a bridge too far.
I'm with you.
Right, but then you take out those kids who are doing the harassing, right? You don't. I mean, it's just, if they were, the spray painting is too much. The vandalism is too much. Agreed. I agree with everybody about all that, right? But what I'm saying, when I'm watching finger painting and banging water jugs.
This kid's banging a $55 water bottle.
I mean, it's
about,
like,
about the poorly pressed. That's an image.
It's just a bunch of white kids who are trying to, you know, show how much they hate mom and dad by flushing away their tuition money. Is it really that offensive? Not really. You know what I mean? Like, there was this group of white supremacists in Florida a couple months back. They hung out, there's about 30 of them, and they hung out over an overpass with their neo-Nazi garbage and trash. Is it offensive? To a certain degree, mm-hmm. But then you realize, oh, wait, there's only 30 of them.
Yeah.
What difference does it make if they show up in their red suits with their neo-Nazi slogans? Is it offensive to such a degree that their rights need to be stripped from them? I don't think so. Call me a crazy person, but I like having my rights, and I really don't like these images that I see of kids being dragged and zip ties, and now they're taking over halls. They're taking over Royce Hall down in UCLA. Yeah. Is it?
Not Santa Cruz, not your alma mater.
No, they did that last month, and then they decided they weren't getting enough meeting attention.
It's Cal Poly. They've occupied a building.
Yeah.
They've taken to that regard. I think it's going to be more effective, like you said earlier today. Once you got to go home and tell dad why you couldn't graduate because you were in the quad and you couldn't take your finals. That's what's going to have an effect on these kids.
You're going to have to call your dad from when he's in Turks and Caicos and say, Papa, I regret to inform you that I've been kicked out of Columbia. Might you be able to get me a scholarship at Oxford? And he'll say, darn it, I'll call him the favor now to George Soros. And that's how the network
that's how it happens.
All right. Organic is a fun buzzword that people like to use, but they use it wrong. And I said this to Spike, and then he immediately did the Scooby-Doo. Yeah. So why a new organic produce shopping guide is helpful and not fearful? Because people really need to understand the difference between what organic means and what organically sourced means and what, you know, pesticide-free means. And
okay, I'd like to know because I don't. That still means it's more expensive.
Do you want a spoiler alert?
No.
Okay. All right. None of it really matters. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now Spike goes from Boomer to Zoomer.
Boomer to Zoomer. We try to help Spike get updated with the lingo that the kids are using. Try to help him to understand what's going on with the kids. So Organic produce is something that people have been talking about for a very, very long time, which is weird because I think that people should be able to understand that it's just a marketing ploy on its face. Organic produce.
Okay, so it's not safer?
No. No, yeah.
Because what I think I know is that organic material doesn't have growth hormones or pesticides to keep bugs off of it.
No, so somebody about 30 years ago figured out that they could just slap organic on something while growing it a different way and people would buy it more. That's basically about it.
Okay.
So organic means anything that is carbon-based and is a life form. That is an organic thing.
Okay.
So technically the frankenfoods that everybody's talking about, like the bananas or the plantains that basically have no seeds, that is organic in nature. That is a living thing,
Okay.
That is a thing.
It seems engineered to me.
Well, it is engineered, but yeah. I mean, technically speaking,
but
Spike,
it's organic.
Technically speaking, Spike, you are engineered because you have had your immune system engineered by vaccines, right?
That's true.
Human beings are, we are, for as much as anything else is domesticated and cultivated, human beings are just as domesticated and cultivated as any other crop or any other thing that we try to pretend like we don't actually engage in horrific factory farming, right? So when we think about the word organic, all that really means is that the supplier uses maybe less of a certain kind of pesticide or less of a certain kind of chemical or whatever it is. There are different kinds of pesticides that are used. The most common pesticides that are used that cause things like fertility issues or disrupt your endocrine system are actually found on golf courses, if you can believe it or not. Yeah, highest concentration is actually found on golf courses.
So it means keeping the beautiful greens and fairways.
Exactly, okay. Right. So probably not a good idea to roll around in a...
or buy fresh produce at the 19th hole.
Exactly. Not the best idea.
Yeah, but we grew it in our sand pits.
The majority of the time, what people don't realize is that if you just have... Let's say I get an apple and I just wash it. I'm removing any potential residue or drift of pesticides from other crops.
I was going to ask.
But it's so low that it's almost inconsequential entirely to the body as a whole.
Yeah, because, I mean, because it's not organic, it's still got to be safe. There are still guidelines.
Yeah, they're very strict.
Food in stores.
Very strict guidelines, as a matter of fact. And so what you would want to avoid is, like, so you ever go to the supermarket and you see the one batch of Honey Crisps and they're like 3 to 4 times the size.
Yes, super fat.
Those are the ones you're going to want to avoid because those are the ones have been really heavily genetically.
Those are on roids.
Those are on roids, right?
The John Curley of apples.
Right. And so, but the thing is that like there is more nutritional density in those little teeny tiny ones.
Okay.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the poison of it, but we're talking about nutritional density.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a fattened up chicken's probably got less nutritional value than a smaller, not growth hormoned up chicken.
No, not so much.
Oh, okay.
Because we're talking about it.
Let's stick to fruits.
But like with chickens, I mean, like ideally you would want something that's not, what they do with chickens is they pump them up full of hormones so that they develop faster.
Yeah.
So you can take a chick to a chicken in under 10 weeks, right?
And have huge breasts.
Yeah,
because that's
right.
The meatiest part of a chicken.
So that's kind of what you would want to try to avoid. But really all chickens are given a certain amount of growth hormone because an actual chicken, I don't know if anybody's ever seen a chicken in the wild, it's a very lean, fast, roadrunner-esque creature with not a lot of meat on
it. What we eat are cage-raised and don't get a chance to even move around. They just want to fatten up.
Organic is just a fun buzzword that was invented about 30 years ago so that people could feel better about the stuff that they buy. Now, if you really want to go out there, farmers markets are probably some of the best places to get produce because those people don't use the large factory farm, weed and feed style pesticides or hormones that they just use whatever fertilizer is available to them or whatever crops are available.
We got family over in Eastern Washington in the Wenatchee area, and there's nothing better than buying fruit from the stand right at the orchard, right there, whether it's apples or cherries or whatnot, eggs from the farm.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best.
So, and I mean, there's also just different ways of like consuming meat as an example. Like I prefer, like when I go to get meat, I prefer to go to an actual butcher to get said meat. I know it's more expensive, but I just prefer to do that.
As opposed to the plastic wrapped.
Even the plastic wrapped, it's a Safeway. I'm fine with that. What I'm not okay with, what I see is the, like you ever get those steaks that are like plastic sealed that covered in Jimmy Dean's or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to buy them, but I see them.
Those are the ones that really weird me out because those are the ones that have to be loaded with preservatives.
Yeah.
And I think that most people, when you're thinking about making healthy dietary habits, we talk about whole foods. You're talking about something that doesn't have a lot of preservatives in it. because preservatives is one of the most difficult things for your body to try to digest. So processed foods. This is why when I see people who are, you know, I give money away on this subreddit called Free Meal, where people are asking for, can you
help me buy my
grocery list?
Okay, wow.
If I see Welch's grape juice and you know, fruit sticks and fruit gummies and
on their grocery list?
Yeah, and if I'm not buying it, I'm sorry. I'm not buying you sugar so that you can kill yourself.
Do you tell them, do you send notes to those people saying, "Hey, give me a healthier list and I'll help you get through the week"?
No, I just check the boxes on the list that are
the ones that you'll fund.
The ones that I will buy cool. for you. But yep. The thing that Americans don't realize about a healthy diet is it's really easy. You just have to avoid certain things that everybody already knows is bad for you. Ketchup flavored Lay's potato chips are awful for you.
Just
right?
not a winning, not a redeeming quality not among a, right. the whole bag.
So like low fat, you know, triple strawberry blueberry yogurt is not good for you.
Yeah.
Right? It just isn't. It's basically just ice cream.
Yeah, it is.
So you want to eat things that are high in fat, things like Greek yogurts. You want to eat a lot of red meat, a lot of eggs to supplement your diet. Things that you don't touch, Spike. Things
No. I shop on the perimeter of the store. I try to avoid the. I learned that much.
Right.
You don't drive up down the aisles of the store because that's the stuff that can be there 6 months from now. Same stuff be there, just as fresh as it is today.
I was talking to a buddy of mine last night, and he said, "I'm making dinner." And I said, "Oh, what are you making?" And he said, "I'm making griddle cakes." I said, "Oh, you're making pancakes from scratch?" He said, "No, I got these pre-made griddle cakes that I just have to pop in the microwave and put those into my body."
Yeah.
And I said, "What are you going to have with your griddle cakes?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to put syrup on those." I go, "Butter?" He goes, "No, I'm trying to eat healthier."
Yeah, I'll just
so
take,
what he's telling me that he's eating is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, oh, ballpark it, 2,000 calories of just pure carbs
griddle
and starch,
cakes. Mm.
Just smothered in sugar. So, I mean, like, there's a way to solve this issue of American obesity. It's just people making better choices for themselves. And part of that is not drinking so much. And part of that's not going to McDonald's. Laura, I'm looking at you. You know what I'm talking about, Laura, with your leftist leanings.
I do not like McDonald's, but I do have an affinity for Taco Bell.
What are you getting at Taco Bell?
The cheesy gordita crunch.
Oh, wow. That's a good choice. Laura, wow. That is a very good choice. Why are you grimacing, Spike?
How do you even know what that is, Jack?
I used to smoke a lot of weed, Laura.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I basically have the Taco Bell menu tattooed on the back of my hand. You know what I mean? You want to talk about the Baja Fresh menu before they got rid of that? That for me was like a godsend.
I'm trying to grimace at anything handed through a window.
Yeah.
That's my new mantra is no one will ever hand me food through a window again.
Legitimately, the only fast food that I ever crave, and this is a real thing, the cheeseburgers from McDonald's. Just the little...
Plain regular old cheeseburger.
Plain regular cheeseburger.
Is that like a value meal thing for them still?
I don't know. But if I could, I would go and I would buy a dozen of those and I would just sit and just put them down.
That's not good.
I used to smoke a lot of weed, Spike.
Okay,
come on, get off my back, buddy.
Oh, I'm glad you're better.
Why you should spend more money on certain things. Actually, you know, let's do the alcohol story, right? Because less alcohol or none at all is a better path to better health.
Yeah. That's running a health kick
and
right
I
now.
Drank so much this weekend that it has me genuinely reconsidering my life choices.
We're going to talk about Laura's drinking problem when we get back right after this.
Oh, no.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, "Your dad has been hurt really bad."
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Laura was in New York for several days and was out drinking, having a good time. Laura,
I was out drinking and having a bad time.
Oh,
that's
no.
an important correction.
What happened with your drinking?
Because I can't hang. That's what I realized.
What were you drinking?
What wasn't I drinking?
Drinking Long Island iced teas?
No.
Manhattans?
No. Very, like, the best martini I've ever had in my life.
It's classy.
Well, it turns out when you are a girl in New York, they just hand you free shots.
That's
like, that
thing.
Is just a thing that happens at bars. Am I supposed to say no? Yes, I was supposed to say no.
So how much alcohol would you say that you drank over the course of...
Oh, over the course of all 3 days?
Yeah.
We're like over 20 drinks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you are feeling how about this? Grief?
Regret?
Did you say
slightly
anything?
Slightly nauseous.
Nauseous?
Even to this day.
Did you say anything that you regret? Any fist fights? Any... Let me tell you who really controls the news media. Any of those kinds of conversations?
I cried.
Yeah.
I struggled to, not like struggled to walk, but
need
after
several
days in New York with blisters on my feet.
Yeah.
Then trying to get home drunk, whatever. Yeah. I definitely said things that I regretted.
Did you say anything like, did you say, you're not my real mom? Anything like that?
Were you with safety? You were with friends, right? You were safe.
Yeah. I went out with my sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say anything to your sister? I know that you're mom's favorite. Did you say any of that stuff?
No, we flip a coin on the mom's favorite question every Christmas, and then we go with that for the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But no, we're both Irish, so I thought I could drink like this, right? But she went to like a bigger college. I went to like a little liberal arts like situation.
Aha! We finally found out why Brian put a lib on this show. So
she trained better.
She trained in the trenches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you reflect on your weekend, are you now reconsidering your relationship with alcohol?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you maybe you wouldn't know, Spike, you know, when you drink a lot and then you're like, I think I'd like to not drink for a month. Yeah,
I've had about a baker's dozen of those for several years.
I'm sure I'll circle back.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm in very much in that mindset of we're done.
Yeah.
Like I need a hard break.
Take a little break with alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not going to train up. You're not going to start drinking more.
Yeah, I have not taken this as a challenge.
Okay,
that's
good.
A good question.
That's good.
Okay. Do you guys want to hear kind of a funny story?
Sure.
Always.
So this one time, I was hanging out with my friend Connor, and he invites his buddy over who... He's like the local drug guy, if that makes sense. Kind of like
guy's always got something.
He's always
on
got a backpack full of every, you want a research chemical from Australia, you want some ayahuasca, here's some mescaline. You know, he was that guy.
Okay.
He just always had everything.
This was from your past.
No, this is his last weekend, Spike.
Okay.
What do you think? Yeah, this is 10 years ago, Spike.
Okay,
geez.
Thank you.
So this guy comes over. This guy, he was a really interesting guy because he had a certain kind of albinism in his hair, but it went from his eyebrow all the way up to his hairline.
That's so a white patch, right?
White patch, but started at his eyebrow, went all the way up into his hair, and the rest of his hair was kind of sandy brown color. So he comes over and he says, I got this really interesting research chemical from Russia. Do you guys want to try it? And I say to myself, of course I want to try it because I'm an insane person at the time. Again, this is like 10 years ago.
Thank you.
So he takes out this thing that looks like a bullet, if you can picture like a large caliber bullet.
Okay.
And he goes, put this to your nose and I'm going to press the bottom of it and it's going to shoot this aerosolized whatever it is into your nose. And because I was a fool at the time, I said, of course I'll do this research chemical. So he puts it in my nose and he goes, pfft. And it burns horrifically. And then he goes, well, now you got to do the other one. And I said, the other one? He goes, yeah, it won't work unless you take enough of it. And
you'll be left with half a brain if you only do one side.
About 45 minutes later, my heart rate is going about 200 beats per minute. And I am chatty. I am talking a lot. And I said, what is that research chemical? He goes, oh, it's 45 MPH, MEO, blah, 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 blah. And I go, in simple terms. He goes, oh, it's like meth. And so,
so you kind of double pump a vein line.
Right. And then he says, he looks at his little bullet contraption. He goes, oh no. And I said, what? And he goes, I put it on the wrong setting. I put it on 4 instead of on 1. So the aerosolized version that you got a dose of 4 in both nostrils. And I went, what does that mean? And he said, you're not going to go to sleep for a couple of days. And then I was really chatty. So my friend Connor says, I've got a bottle of Sky vodka. Let's just take shots of vodka so we can come down.
A little horizontal hold.
Right. Let's try to come down a little bit. We drank the entire bottle of Sky vodka between he and I. We're talking about the big white girl.
In how much time?
I want to say 4 hours.
Ooh.
It was unbelievable. But here's the thing. I was so blown out of my mind on amphetamines that it had no effect on me whatsoever. Yeah. I do not recommend this. This was highly dangerous.
You don't recommend this?
I don't recommend this. But here's the thing.
To be clear.
Even after we polished off the bottle, we were still like, do we need to drink more alcohol? I think we need to drink more alcohol. I think we need to go drink more alcohol because I still really feel really, really, really blah, 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 blah. It was that bad. Isn't that crazy?
Well, there's proof that there's a God because you're still here and you shouldn't be after a night like that. I hate to say it, but
I used to call that, Andrew, a Tuesday. I said it a Tuesday, Andrew.
He won't give it to you.
A Tuesday. Thank you, my friend. Andrew. Nate Connors.
Yes, sir.
Dang, yeah. I can't even begin. Is that just a plain hoodie you got on, my guy?
It may look plain, but I'm wearing it in behalf of that lone zebra out there.
Dang, oh. Nate Connors in solidarity with exotic creatures. Laura, A+. Spike, I'll give you a solid C today.
Thanks, buddy.
Solid C, all right. Buddy. I think you did a good job. Woo. Here's a quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Nonstop 4th of July. 4th of July on Christmas. 4th of July on Easter. It's literally every day. I want to see American flags from South Lake Union all the way up to, where do you live, Spike? Up there.
Edmonds.
There you go.
Up to Edmonds. You bet. And then beyond.